eyes, open your word.
Amen.
Well, the last meeting. We'll make it short and to the point. When you read the whole scriptures, you will find out and discover that the word of God is very consistent. All the way from Genesis to Revelation. That shows that although there are over 40 some writers, some are prophets, Moses, a great leader, David, not only the greatest king, but also a prophet, he wrote many of the Psalms, Solomon, Amen. Daniel, one of the greatest statesmen, he served, Nebuchadnezzar and the kings of Babylon, all the way to the Persian kingdom, and he was the top minister. Don't think Christians are foolish. He's the top minister. Daniel, a wonderful man. Just like John, he is called the beloved. God loves him. Right. And you have Isaiah, you have Jeremiah, you have Ezekiel. Wow, wonderful. Amen. You have Zechariah. And all of these really wrote about Christ and God's eternal purpose. Amen. So if you read a Bible, and don't think that is the Old Testament, there's the New Testament, we don't need the Old, we are only ones the New. No. The Lord Jesus himself never called it the Old Testament. He called it the Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures. It's the living Word of God.
Amen.
And Paul says all Scriptures are the breath of God. You don't have any more breath, you can't speak anymore, right? So God's word is God's breath, meaning to say his spirit is in the word. That is why when he spoke, it comes into being. When God said, let there be light, there is light. It's really wonderful. You can shout from the bottom of your lung, let there be light. Nothing happens. But when God spoke, it comes into being. Light. That's why the Lord says, the world and everything will pass away, but my word will not pass away. Every single iota, every period, every comma, every phrase, every sentence will be fulfilled. Look at the Lord Jesus himself coming to this earth. You think it's easy to claim that he is the Messiah promised by God? You know what the qualifications are? You have to fulfill everything written in the Bible. Can you do that? First of all, your mother has to be a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 says, and God himself will give us a sign, a virgin shall be with child. How can a virgin have a child without a husband? That is when the New Testament fulfillment, the angel told Joseph, be not afraid to take her as your wife. For that which was conceived in her was of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Lord Jesus is without sin. Because according to the Bible, sin passed on by the seed of man. But only the Lord Jesus already promised in Genesis chapter 3, he is the only one who is called the seed of a woman. You all need to learn that the Word of God is marvelous. don't think the Word of God is just another book. That's why it's called the Bible. It means the book. You've read so many books, you better read this one. Because this is the book of books. Right? Even where he's born. Where is he born? Bethlehem. If Jesus is born in Galilee somewhere, then he's not the Christ. He cannot be the Messiah, because Micah chapter 5 verse 2 says he's going to be born in Bethlehem. His coming was a fulfillment of so many prophecies concerning him. Where he should grow up, he shall be called a Nazarene. He must grow up in Nazareth. Every scripture there concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he fulfills. You think if somebody comes and says, I'm the Christ? Well, the first book in the New Testament, the book of Matthew, is a genealogy. You need to go through that genealogy, otherwise you're not the Lord Jesus Christ. If I say I'm the Christ, you just look at my eyes, you already see, no, you cannot be the Christ. Because, he's the promised son of David, son of Abraham. You see, my nose is so flat. Impossible to be the Christ. You tell me, you're lying, John. Where were you born, you should ask me. Oh. Manila, Philippines. Ah, forget it. You're not the Christ. Even when he should be born, Daniel chapter 9 tells us so clearly, from the time King Artaxerxes commanded and gave the command to Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the wall of the city. From there you counted 483 years, that time Christ is born. I wonder how the Jews could miss it. Right. Isaiah chapter 53 already told us, when he comes, nobody will believe in him. Isaiah chapter 3 begins to say, who will believe our report? Nobody believes. And Isaiah already said, when he comes, he'll be judged for our sake.
Amen.
He'll be bruised, wounded for our sake. We esteemed him to be stricken by God, but it is for our sake he was wounded, for the transgression of his people. And then Isaiah said, this child that was born is called the Almighty God. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. And the whole government shall be upon his shoulder. So many things. And then when and how should he die? David prophesied in Psalm 22, they pierced my hand and my feet. How did David know that 1,000 years before Christ was crucified? You tell me. Because at the time of David, 1,000 years ago, there was no such Roman punishment yet. And so God made it such an arrangement that the Lord came at a time when the Roman Empire is in power, and their capital punishment is by crucifixion. Who knows that? Oh, God knows that. And David prophesied concerning that. But at that time, Joseph and Mary were there. They were somewhere there in Galilee, in Nazareth, very close. So, why did they move to Bethlehem? Because Caesar Augustus made an edict that everybody must register. You want everyone to be registered where you came from. And Joseph and Mary, being from the line of David, they had to go to Bethlehem to register. You think it's an accident? And so they had to travel from the north to the south to the city of Bethlehem, and then at that time Jesus was born. Right? Isn't that wonderful? And not only how should he die? Of course, if the Lord was stabbed by Judas in the back, he is not the Messiah, okay? But even Judas betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah said exactly that. Poor Judas. I always say poor Judas. Doing such an evil work for 30 pieces of silver. If I were Judas, I would ask for 30,000 pieces at least. Oh, he is a greedy man. He loves money. Why would you do such a terrible thing for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave? But he had no choice. It's written. You like be Judas? Don't be Judas. And then when should he die? Exactly at the day of the Passover when the lamb was slain. Because he is the Lamb of God.
Amen.
And as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, how many days? 30 days? Oh, 13 days? Huh? So the Lord Jesus must rise on the Lord will not tell the Father, I need more rest. Just, I did such hard work, let me rest a few more days. No. And when should the Holy Spirit be poured out? On the feast of the Pentecost. 50 days after his resurrection.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus was very, very what?
Exact
in God's appointment. Now, who is able to perform such a work? You think it's easy to be the Christ? That's why I said, you don't need any proof. This book is the proof that Jesus is the Christ. If you don't believe it, read it. You say, I don't want to read it. Oh, then it's up to you. It's your problem. You don't need to look for any other proof apart from this book. That's why the Lord told his disciples, the whole scriptures from Moses, Psalms, and prophets, they speak about me, he said. But nobody wants to read it. Right. This is this wonderful Christ that God has sent. His only begotten Son, which is actually God Himself. To pay such a wonderful, great ransom to save us from God's judgment. And to fulfill God's plan with man, to regenerate us, that we will be born again. Your first birth, you got your human life from your parents. The second birth is from the Spirit above. The Holy Spirit comes into us. That's why the Lord told Nicodemus, you must be born again. So, you can really see the Bible is very consistent. It's really wonderful. And then, because man fell, instead of looking like the image of God, we look like sometimes the devil, full of unrighteousness, corruption, killing, hatred, all kinds of things happening. After being born again, the Holy Spirit comes into you to do what? To do a transformation work. To conform us to the image of the firstborn Son of God. To transform us from glory to glory into the glorious image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? It's all written here in this wonderful book. Right? Now, after we are saved, we receive such a wonderful inheritance, and God is going to build a wonderful farm, a garden, and let's just call it a vineyard for now, okay? A vineyard. You know why the Lord says, I'm a true vine? Because in the Old Testament, God used already the vineyard to signify his people. But that, in the Old Testament days, is not yet the real vine. Now let's go to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 5, okay? It is a wonderful chapter. It's too long. But it's okay. It's okay. We'll just make it short. Now let me sing my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard, the prophet says. Well, sometimes we have to sing a song. My well-beloved has a what? Has a cathedral. No. Has a what? Has a theological seminary. No. Has a what?
A vineyard.
On a very dry hill.
Fruitful.
Well, I think anyone who wants to plant a vineyard, you will plant it in a fruitful place. You think God is not a good farmer? Yes, he is. He dug it up, cleared out its stones. Remember, our heart is full of stones?
Yes.
In Matthew 13. And he planted it with the choicest vine. Who is this choicest vine? Christ is the true vine, remember that. Then he built a tower in its midst so that he can watch over that vine, that vineyard. Oh, a lot of foxes. A lot of little critters there. And also made a wine press in it. Wow. Right. So he expected it. My beloved, your beloved, our beloved, expected it to bring forth thorns and thistles. Bring forth what? You sure? But unfortunately, what happened?
It brought forth wild grapes.
Please read it loudly to yourself now. But it brought forth wild grapes. You think it's not possible today? We are not spiritual, but we become fleshly. Born of God, we have the life of Christ within us. But because of so much concepts and flesh, you think Christian cannot be fleshly? They don't fight. No envy, no strife, no unrighteousness, no corruption. Everyone is a saint with a halo. I would say, hello, hello, not halo. But it brought forth wild grapes. I've seen that many times. It started good, it ended up wild. It started with a spirit like in Galatians, but it ended up in the flesh. Let me read. Just jump to Galatians, okay? Sorry. I'll just read it to you. Yeah. Chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Oh, bewitched. Who has bewitched you, it says, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was vain, don't think Christians, after being born again, starting your Christian life in the Spirit, you will only end up in the Spirit. No. That's why you have Galatians there. You don't go on. You end up in the flesh. God did a wonderful job. Cleared out the stones, dug it up and everything, and planted a church as vine, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, he's not talking to the Philistines or judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? You think the Lord is happy? Whose fault is it? The vine dresser? Or is the vine not the first grape, top grape, best? Choice is vine? Anything wrong with a vine? So, what happened? The trouble is with the branches. Yeah. And now, verse 5. Please, let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will be very lenient to it. I will still love it. And I will keep it, although it's not bearing fruit. Is that what it says?
No.
Oh, but God is love. Tolerant. Caring. Merciful. Isn't that what you think about God? What are you going to do with that vineyard if you are the owner? And who's going to buy your wild grapes? You yourself don't even want to eat it, or you want to sell it to others. Even if you give it to others, they won't take it free of charge. What happened? You think you will not fall as a Christian? Look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. They turn into a monster. Babylon the Great. So it's already written here. Isaiah wrote this about 700 years before Christ. Of course, this is referring to the nation of Israel. It's God's kingdom. It's God's vineyard. But at the end, look what happened. They became worse idol worshippers than the nations surrounding them, resulting in captivity into Babylon, Jerusalem destroyed, the temple destroyed. God just have to get rid of it. And then when the Lord Jesus Christ came, the King of Kings, the owner of the vineyard came, they got rid of him. My goodness sake. You think we Christians today, the heavenly Jerusalem, the spiritual house here, now the God's heavenly kingdom. Israel was the earthly kingdom. Now we are the heavenly kingdom. Are you very obedient to the king? The Lord says, don't do that. He says, why not? Bring me my offering. Why? You're always there, resisting the Holy Spirit. That's why Hebrews says a few times, today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Our heart is the problem. Our heart is the problem. That's why we sang that song, bestow in me a pure heart, dear Lord. Isaiah, and I'm sorry, Ezekiel, God promised, I will give you a new heart. I will take away your stony heart and give you a new heart and give you a new spirit, and I will put my spirit into your spirit. But don't think after the Lord gives you a new heart, it will not harden again. It depends on you. You don't water your garden, don't till the ground, you just leave it there, you don't care, pretty soon it's going to be hard. Especially in California, no water. Yeah. Oh, he didn't have to take a shower. I put a bucket down below so that I can save some shower water and to water the plants. What do you do with your heart? Proverbs says you have to keep your heart above all keeping. For out of your heart issues of the spirit of life, the water of life comes out, comes forth. If you let your heart keep on going the direction it is going, it will become hardened. And if it's hardened, you can no longer hear the Spirit speaking to you. You know the word hard of hearing? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Sorry, it's 12 already. Let me quickly... Oh, my God. You read it yourself. I think it's easy to understand. At the very end. Beginning in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. You know, that means you ought to be already sharing with others. There's no theological cemetery. I mean... seminary at that time. Oh, there's the Holy Scriptures, you read it. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. You have come to need milk and not solid food. No teeth. Look at all the babies, they have no teeth. Don't feed steaks to the babies. You'll kill the babies. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in a word of righteousness. Ah, he didn't use the word of grace. The word of grace is a little bit milky. Yogurt. Spiritual yogurt. But solid food, the word of righteousness, belong to those who are of full age, mature. Yeah, those who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use practice. You better practice. You know, for children to learn A, B, C, D, and they don't practice, they won't be able to write. Especially the Chinese character, man, using the brush. I remember going to school, we have to practice writing the Chinese words. And if you're lazy, you write the Chinese character like a kindergarten or first grader. Yeah. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That means they really grow and mature. Right? It says, everyone who partake only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. You can't believe that although we are born again, you can remain a babe in Christ. You can be a Christian for 30 years. That doesn't mean that you are now a mature Christian after 30 years. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, mature. Those who by reason of practice, exercise, have their senses, spiritual senses, exercise to discern both good and evil. You have to be able to discern what is right. If you don't read a word yourself, you don't practice, you don't live it, how do you know if the pastor is telling the right thing about? How do you know if somebody's pulling your legs? You tell me. Right? I can fool our dear little brother here easily. Perhaps not that easily, because the daddy is next to him. But to fool the daddy here, I better not even try. Because he is a mature person, experienced. Right. Why is it Christians today just believe anything and everything that people say? You need to come back to the living word of God. Amen. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the word of the elementary principle of Christ, there is the elementary, basic, elementary school, you know. Yeah. Did you go to school? Yes. Oh, well, yeah. What is your major? Kindergarten. Graduated elementary. I don't think a serious company will hire you. Right? Suppose you apply, you work for Apple, and resume, fifth grade. nobody's going to hire you. Let us leave and go on to perfection. The word perfection here in Greek telos means ripened maturity or reaching the goal. So Psalm says perfection. Yeah, he is right. But maturity in the whole context, it also means maturity. Not laying again the foundation, repentance, dead works, faith toward God, baptism, laying out of hands, resurrection, judgment. You cannot just stay in this realm and this elementary principles of God's word. You have to go on to maturity. This we will do if God permits, meaning to say God wants you to mature. Jacqueline, you want your son to remain a baby. Why not? Cute. Very cute. Don't you like cute babies? Look at my granddaughter. Oh, wow. Everybody else is, wow, what a cute. Tip her. Small like that. How about that? Who will get in trouble? You will get in trouble. God will get in trouble if all of his children remain babies after 30 years. Now, when Paul wrote this, because Paul is the one who wrote Hebrews, although it is not mentioned here, what did he say in verse 7? Let us jump. For the earth which drinks in the rain and often comes upon it, that often comes upon it, and bears what? Herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated, receives a blessing from God. That should be the normal situation. But if it bears what? Thorns and thistles. It is rejected and near being cursed, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Right? Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. Right? So you should really see that the Bible is very consistent. There's a warning. According to what the Lord Jesus said in John 15, and now again in Isaiah chapter 5. Now please tell me, or let me tell you what I will do with my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste, and it shall not be pruned or dug. But there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain much.
No rain
in it. For the vineyard of the Lord are the unbelievers of the Gentiles. No? What did he say here? It cannot be. You mean to say God's people can become like that? For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. And the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. Wow. Hey, how about you? He looked for justice, but behold, oppression. Terrible. For righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. So many people are crying not for help, because the leading ones are not doing their job. And they're for themselves, Woe to those who join house to house, they add field to field, till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. This is what happened. At the end, many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones without inhabitants. 10 acres of vineyard shall yield just one bath. You remember the good land? When the spy went to the good land, wow, they came back one big, what? Cluster of grapes. 2 people must carry it. And now 10 acres yield one bath. And a homer of seed shall yield one ephah. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night till wine inflames them. They have a different kind of enjoyment. Harp and strings, the tambourine and flute, they love to sing and dance, and wine are in their feasts, but they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operation of his hands. Therefore my people have gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Goodness. I hate to read this. You read it yourself. Do you want to be like that?
No.
The church should be a very fruitful vineyard. But hey, if you don't want to do anything, you don't want to labor, you're not diligent, you don't plant, you don't water, you don't prune, you don't get rid of the weeds, you just sleep and enjoy and dance around, and you think if you sing around the vineyard, well, the vine will be listening to your songs and grow, and it'll be rich grapes. What will happen if you don't work in your vineyard? Instead of grapes, you have thorns and briars. Oh, yeah, by grace. By grace, the vineyard will flourish. Well, try it. Try it. I'm not joking, brothers. There is judgment. You are saved, Paul says, yes, but as through fire. You like to go through here? It's up to you, it's your choice. Right? So may the Lord open your eyes. Yes, you have a wonderful inheritance. Yes, God planted a wonderful vineyard, choice as a vine in a fruitful hill, but you don't do anything to it. What's going to happen? Like Isaiah 5. Good luck to you all. May the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
You might say, John, you're too hard. No. I didn't write Isaiah, please. I'm not the author of Isaiah chapter 5. If you want to blame you, blame Isaiah. But Isaiah will say, I'm just singing his song to you. Don't think I'm offended. I'm not offended. Do I look offended?
David? I'm still laughing a lot, right?
Yeah.
Even you can hear in the tape, I'm still ha 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 ha, you know. How can a terribly offended person be ha 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 ha? No. But woe if you offended the living God. I need not to justify myself because I don't have to. But you better answer to the living God. That's it. So may the Lord really help us to labor on this inheritance.
Amen.
And the goal is that we will have a wonderful harvest.
Yes.
And the best of the harvest will be brought to Jerusalem as offering to the Father for his wonderful worship.
Amen.
As food for God to enjoy.
Yes.
This is what the Bible says.
Amen.
That's what the Bible commanded us. When you come to keep the feast in Jerusalem, do not come empty-handed.
Yeah.
But today, people said, okay, I just go home. Why does God need your dollar? What is he going to buy him? Ferrari?
The pastor is going to buy
a Tesla? Fisker? No, God wants a spiritual offering today for him to enjoy.
Amen.
And he requires that of us.
Yes.
Because he knows this will help you to be diligent to grow the things that God wants. Eventually it is for your own good.
Amen.
You will be rich with Christ.
Yeah.
You will be filled with the Lord Jesus, and yet it is not for you, but it is for God's enjoyment. What can I say? What more can I say? Maybe we'll continue next week. But, you know, this is what the Word of God says.
Amen.
May the Lord have mercy on all of us.
Yes.
Amen.
Bring it to the Lord, you pray about it.
Amen.
Ponder on it. And tell the anointing of the Lord indwelling you to teach you, step by step. As I have said before, it takes at least a year for us to learn how to prepare these wonderful offerings to the Father. God will not force anyone to do it. If you don't want to do it, that's fine. Nobody's forcing you. No. To speak the truth in what God says does not mean that I'm giving you pressure or God is giving you pressure. No. How do you understand John 15? Anyone who doesn't bear fruit branch will be what? Cut off, thrown away, and be burned. Oh, you're giving me pressure and fear. I don't know. I'm just reading to you what John 15 says, okay? You want to complain, please. I'm not the complaint department. I'm just a salesman. You want to complain, you go to the boss and complain to him. Don't complain to me. You go to the boss. Go to the Lord. And you argue with him. Not with me. I'm not going to argue with you. Right. If that what is written is true, then do it. If you don't want to do it, forget about it. Doesn't matter. But remember, there is a judgment seat of Christ. That's the complaint department. But I'm sure when you go there, you have nothing to say. Today, you have a lot of things to say. A lot of people have a lot of things to say. Go ahead. Say as much as you like today, but when you come here, he will have something to say, not you. Right. So, may the Lord give us mercy.
Amen.
And much supply of the Spirit.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.